We need more dogs. Welcome back to the latest and greatest episode of the Shave Up Plus podcast, brought to you by Jayton May and Quentin Crisco. You can find me on Twitter at jmay56. You can find him on Twitter at ButkusStats. And today we bring to you the Super Bowl Propapalooza. How are you doing?
Where's that sound?
Yes, sir.
That's what we live for, man.
That's what we live for.
This is the show. This is the time.
I think in the 3 years that we've done this, I think I'm up like 37 units on Super Bowl.
Dude, we've crushed it every year. I mean,
there's so much value to be found in Super Bowl props.
Well, I mean, even aside from the props, last year we were all in on the Chiefs.
And, yeah, that helped. I mean,
and we won that 10 different ways. You know, we covered ourselves to make sure that we had our backs covered in a lot of different ways.
And then I had
like we won a bunch of them.
And in the Tampa Super Bowl, I had Gronk 2 touchdowns. I had I had Brady 3 plus passing touchdowns. I think I had the under in that game, and I had the Chiefs a bunch of different ways, but between Gronk and the under and Brady, I killed it.
Wait, so is this our fourth Super Bowl then? The third.
We had the Tampa Super Bowl. We had last year's Super Bowl and this year.
We had the Rams one too, didn't we? Because the model had that one, like the final score on the money in that one.
Might have had the Rams one. No, we didn't have the Rams Super Bowl. No, because I was still living in Sweetwater then.
Huh. Okay. Maybe I just had the model and I didn't.
Wait, no. I was thinking Rams Patriots. You're talking Rams Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might have had all three of those.
We definitely had a show for Rams Bengals.
So this is our fourth.
Yeah.
Oh, look at us. Or maybe we didn't have the Tampa Super Bowl. That was just me personally.
Yeah, we might not have.
I mean, we've been discussing Super Bowl props for years.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been crushing it on Super Bowl. We're back for more. I've honestly, this will be interesting because this is probably the least research I've put into the Super Bowl because I've just been like up to my neck in draft prospects and watching tape. So yeah. I'm not probably as well versed as I was the previous years, but I still feel confident in what I got.
Yeah. So I didn't go as deep as I normally do, but mainly because like I don't know where to go with the Super Bowl, but I think I found good value for what I found.
Yeah.
And I think I have some really, really high value bets that have a good chance of hitting that we can still make money on.
I think the weird thing, we talked about this a little pre-show with this year's Super Bowl, is like, it's not, I think it's going to be a weird game. I think it's going to be like,
yeah,
a lot of, there's, Casey's defense is so good, but I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of stalemate in there.
Debo's health is questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I feel like it goes a lot of different ways. Like, let's get into the basics here, okay? So, we'll just jump right into it. The basics I have three basics. I have first quarter over 9 points at -110. I have over 47.5 for the game, and I have Kansas City +2. I feel like those three are all pretty good bets. I think this game goes over in an untraditional way. Like, I just feel like these coaches being so offensive minded are gonna find ways to score points, but that doesn't necessarily mean an offensive explosion at the same time.
Yeah, I think so. Historically, first half of Super Bowls are low scoring. Right.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm saying. First quarter. I'm trusting opening drive scripts here.
Yeah. Opening drive. And I think that's fair. But so historically first halves are low scoring because that's when everybody is fired up, the jitters are fully there, and everything is like, you know, this is the pinnacle of what you play for. That favors defense. It just does. That doesn't favor timing and rhythm. That favors chaos, and that favors defense. Yeah. So I got the first half under. I think it was, let me see what the number I got that at was.
I wanted to take first half under, but I'm like, I couldn't convince myself to take first quarter over with first half under.
Yeah.
I couldn't make myself do both.
Yeah. I've got first half under 23.5.
Yeah.
And I have a bet that I even like more than that. Highest scoring half, second half at -115. I mean, I think that's a bet I take almost every year. That's just clockwork.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a solid choice there.
Yeah. And I have about 10 units on Chiefs money line.
10. Let's go.
I am getting. You don't bet, I placed all of those within an hour of Super Bowl lines being posted. And I'm starting to get nervous.
Yeah.
Because either Vegas is going to lose a lot or everyone else is going to lose a lot. Because I haven't talked to anyone who's on the 49ers, and that number is still there.
Yeah, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes against arguably the worst quarterback he's faced in a Super Bowl, other than Jimmy Garoppolo. Where Patrick Mahomes had to overcome a double-digit lead the last time they played this team in the Super Bowl.
And this Niners defense is nowhere near what that defense was. Like, they have really not been a strong unit down the stretch here.
And Chase Young, who played for him down the stretch, is supposedly getting benched for this game because he's so disinterested in just playing football, it seems like. It's a weird game. It's a very weird game. And the Chiefs offense isn't nearly what it was the last time these two teams played. Also, when you talk about the 49ers defense not being what it was.
Yeah, there's a... We're in for a weird one. Man, I mean, the Niners run defense has really struggled down the... Like, since probably about week 11, week 12. Since week 11, they've been like middle of the pack as a run defense. And I think that's really been the way that you beat them is with the run. But the Chiefs offense isn't exactly a strong rushing offense. Like, they get it done, but they're not very efficient about it. I don't know.
But Andy Reid can always get it going.
Andy Reid will figure something out. I know that. So, and you look at the strength of these teams, like, Kansas City's offense, I mean, yeah, Pat Mahomes is awesome, but the strength of their offense is their own line. And they're going to be going up against the strength of Niners defense, which is the D line. I don't know. Just at some point, you're just kind of trusting that Mahomes is going to get it done here. And like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. And I mean, there's worse places to put your trust in, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and so one thing I do want to talk a little bit about is, you know, you watch the Chiefs going through the playoffs, and like last game against Baltimore, everyone's like, where'd Odell Beckham go? Where'd their receivers go? And I think it gets lost because they're not in the broadcast view, but the Chiefs corners have been eating souls. Like, they have just been destroying people. It's
been fantastic.
I am tired of hearing that the Ravens lost that game just because no one can see the cornerbacks on the broadcast view. The Chiefs won that game. The Chiefs put them in timeout.
They got out to an early lead and coasted.
Yeah, because they could, because their cornerbacks were that good that they could just shut down the passing offense.
No disrespect to anybody on that team, but I think if the Chiefs would have had to stay in a shootout, I think they had the ability to do that. But I think they played it close to the chest. They got out to an early lead and said, we're going to make you beat us until we can't keep up. And it played into their hand perfectly. Like, I, I, I don't think Baltimore lost that game. You could say the Zay Flowers fumble and all of that, but it's like at the same time you did nothing all game, and the Chiefs, like Patrick Mahomes, did nothing that game and they won the game. And you're telling me that in a situation where Patrick Mahomes would have had to make plays, he wouldn't have been able to do it. Like, I think the Chiefs won that game no matter what.
Yeah, my point is really just that there is not another defense like this, like the Chiefs in the NFL right now. They are so multiple in so many ways. I was trying to throw together their expected starters today on defense. They have 5 different linebackers who get regular play time, 4 different cornerbacks who get regular play time, and 3 different safeties who get regular play time. That's not normal.
Yeah. This,
Spagnuolo has built just a disgusting machine that can chew you up and spit you out.
The same Spagnuolo that beat Brady twice.
And has all these defensive backs who can just destroy you in man coverage. Yeah. Like, it's, I mean, who, maybe Ayuk can break one in this game, but I don't, no one has against it. Yeah. No one has crushed their man coverage all year. Like, these guys are playing light out defense. And I don't think that's getting enough talk.
No, I agree 100%. So,
yeah, I mean, I am really interested to see how the matchup goes with, because Debo and Ayuk is nothing to, you know, raise your nose to. That's a good receiver room.
But Debo's got to be 100%. What makes
or breaks this game. How
does Debo play the whole game?
If he does, I mean, I assume he's going to be all, like, I mean, I don't think he's missing snaps in the Super Bowl. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, but he's had a lingering injury all year. I mean, it only takes 1 or 2 snaps to lose that at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But I think he's going to be doing everything in within his power to be out there. And usually guys tend to stay out there.
I think he starts the game. But, I mean, you aggravate something like soft tissue, and if you can't go, you can't go. And I don't think he finishes this game.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I tend to look at, like, Terrell Owens playing on a broken foot and stuff in the Super Bowl. Like, it's just a little different, I think, for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it might be. But what do you have for as far as, like, just basic units, over-unders, quarters, halves, stuff like that?
I think that's all I got. The high scoring half, the second half, and the first half under 23.5. Let's see. Yeah, that's all I got for basics. And just Chiefs money line, which I'm, like I said, I'm getting nervous. I don't know what Vegas knows that I don't, but it's making me nervous.
Yeah. So we can move on to the next value chart, in my opinion. This is first touchdown score. I have 4 players here. I have 2 players from each team. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, first touchdown scorer, at plus 3,300. I just think this is ridiculous value. They're acting like they don't use Clyde Edwards-Helaire at all. I mean, he's
Is that just for KC or for game?
For game.
Yeah.
And this value seems like they just don't use this guy at all. They use him probably a little bit over a third of the time, probably around 40% whenever it comes to packages for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And at plus 3,300, one of the lowest odds for first touchdown scorer, I just think the value is outrageous for his usage rate. Like, they do use this guy. So I think at plus 3,300, that's great value. Next up, I have Rashee Rice at plus 900. Kind of for the same reason. I mean, he's their second best weapon behind Travis Kelce, and they'll have reasons to get him a touchdown. So I like him at plus 900. And then for the 49ers side, I have Ayuk and Kittle, two of their best playmakers. But I mean, there's playmakers all over that 49ers team. But Ayuk at plus 1,100 and Kittle at plus 950 was almost too good to pass up, with CMC and Debo both being like well below like plus 450, plus 350. I think Ayuk and Kittle are just as likely to score a first touchdown if it's the 49ers as CMC and Debo are. And if you're getting double the value for them, I'm going to take them. So those are my four. And if I hit one of those, I'm up.
So here's the logic behind the odds being so much stronger for CMC and Debo are in Shanahan.
If you get within the 10.
Yeah, because Shanahan is not looking very trustworthy of Brock Purdy right now to throw the football in the red zone.
Yeah.
So he probably wants to keep it on the ground. But
I mean, all four of these are basically assuming that you don't score within the 10-yard line.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so, I do think this is a game to go hit up the George Kittle and the CMC props. Because I was just saying, you don't mess with these Chiefs cornerbacks, man.
Yeah.
Go to the guys who are not facing the cornerbacks every down. Like that I think that's where the money is on the overs in this game.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as first touchdown props go, I mean, you're basically betting against Pacheco, Kelsey, and CMC not to get the first touchdown here.
Yeah.
And as long as one of those three don't get it, you're most likely going to hit, and it's gonna pay out about 3-1, considering everything else you've bet with it. So I got CEH, Rashee Rice, Ayuk, and Kittle for that. So
yeah, I think there's value there. Absolutely. Yeah. First touchdown has never really been something that I dove into much, but I definitely think there's value there.
Yeah. And then what else do you got? Anything crazy? Because everything else I have is I have a couple of anytime touchdowns. I have some player props and some game props, but nothing too crazy.
I've got mostly over-unders on player props. And then I got Noah Gray anytime touchdown.
Okay. Which
I think that was plus 900 or something.
Yeah.
That just seems like they're going to be all over Kelsey. Fred Warner is going to be blanketing him in the red zone, I imagine. Not that that's going to stop it, but that's going to create opportunities for Reed to dial something up for Noah Gray, I think. And let's see. I think that's all I got. Yeah, that's all I got for anytime touchdown. I have a few MVP bets, and the rest are over-unders.
Okay. So my next one, I have Travis Kelce and Christian McCaffrey both to have at least two touchdowns. It pays plus 1,200. I just think these are the two most the two biggest weapons in the game for their quarterbacks. And CMC can get it both on the ground and in the passing game. And then with Travis Kelce, I mean, he's the number one target of Patrick Mahomes. And so when you're giving me the two best offense players in the game, if it's a shootout, both of them having at least two touchdowns at plus 1,200, I just think the value is good there.
Yeah.
I
think that there's a good chance that both guys do get that. So, I mean.
Yeah, so I'm taking that. I'm taking that at plus 1,200. So, I mean, 1-12. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if this hits in the first half, because this could be part of the game script, getting either CMC involved or getting Kelce involved, especially around the red zone area. CMC can score from anywhere. Travis Kelce can score from anywhere. So, yeah, I love the value there. And with these two offenses, with these two offenses' minds, with Big Red going against Shanahan, I think they're going to try to get their guys fed early and often. And I just love that value at plus 1,200 for both of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. One thing that's interesting here is, like, you do have two, I guess, offenses that have mostly been here before. I mean, I guess I say that, but I don't know. The 49ers, maybe not, because Brock Purdy hasn't been here before. Trent Williams hasn't been here before. CMC.
Chris McCaffrey hasn't been here before.
A lot of that O-line.
Brandon Ayuk hasn't been here before.
Was that Ayuk was with them at the first time, I think.
I thought he was drafted the year after. Because it was Debo, and it was...
Maybe he was.
Who was the dude that Jimmy G overthrew in the Super Bowl that basically lost him the game?
It wasn't Ayuk. He played for the Broncos for years. Emmanuel Sanders. Ayuk wasn't there. So, I mean, the Chiefs have been here before. The San Fran offense really hasn't. It's mostly new guys.
But much more talented than they were last time.
Much more talented, but
on paper.
I think they'll get more sticker shock in the first half, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, Trent Williams is a veteran. Christian McCaffrey is a veteran. So, I mean, and I know you can't really prepare for a Super Bowl and what goes into a Super Bowl, but those two guys, like, I'd be willing to bet my money that those two guys are locked in and ready to go.
Yeah,
the guys like Ayuk. The
Super Bowl is where it gets weird, though, because like your halftime is double for the Super Bowl, right? And that's a huge factor. Teams come out flat in the second half too, a lot of the times, and the more experienced team tends to do better with that, as far as like Super Bowl experience.
Yeah, it's gonna be very strange. And 49ers have not looked good in these playoffs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They should have lost both of their games.
That actually brings me up to one thing that I forgot to mention previously. I pulled the numbers on this because I've been harping on this for a few years now. The last 20 Super Bowls, can you guess the record of the team with the more difficult strength of schedule to get there?
Wait, what are you asking?
Can you guess the record, the Super Bowl record of the team in the Super Bowl
that had the lower strength of schedule?
No, the more difficult strength of schedule.
Oh, in the last how many years?
20 years.
18-2.
16-4. You know who?
Hold on, let me yell at dogs.
Four teams were?
Tom Brady teams.
Exactly. Tom Brady teams.
I saw the stat.
You know,
I follow you on Twitter.
You know who has the tougher strength schedule this year?
Kansas City Chiefs, number one in the league.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that makes me feel good about the Chiefs is that I just look at the Vegas line and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, you have the hardest strength of schedule, and you have an all-time great quarterback against. I'm so tired of the Brock Purdy hate because of how well he played this season. Because as a Cowboys fan, I remember watching week 7 when we played the 49ers, and it was like, we're going to shut down Christian McCaffrey, or we're going to make Brock Purdy beat us. And he beat the fuck out of us. Beat us like 49-7 or whatever it was. Like, Brock Purdy's good, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. And if things don't go his way, he hasn't proven to like elevate his team to a level that can go out there and win a must-win game compared to a guy like Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I mean, that stat obviously looks even better for the Chiefs, because when you look at some of the Chiefs' losses, even against the most difficult strength of schedule, week 1 against the Lions when they lost and the Kadarius Toney drops, or when they lost against the Bills and the Kadarius Toney drops, or when they lost against, what was it, the Jets and the Kadarius Toney drops. Like, I don't know why they kept losing these games. Like, I can't really pinpoint it, but like, there was a lot of games they should have won that they didn't win because like things just didn't come together, and I don't know what it was.
Yeah. There was an MVS drop in there, too, that cost him.
Yeah. Even some Travis Kelce drops.
Yeah.
Some Travis Kelce drops lost some games this year.
Yeah, they did.
Was his worst season? Travis Kelce's probably worst season in 8 years?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, boy. He looks good in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
He just, like, turned on the ignition, was like, I'm back. Like...
Yeah, I mean, and it's pretty hard to stop a Travis Kelce at full strength.
Yeah.
Nobody's really been able to do it. And there's been some rumors about him retiring. I don't think he retires. I think Jason retires. And I think it would be all fun and all fun of the sun. New Heights podcast retiring at the same time, moving into the media game. But I think Jason Kelce's done. I mean, I think not done in the sense that he can't play anymore, just done with the fact of life, three kids, a good wife. I mean, Travis, I mean, he's entering legend territory, breaking Jerry Rice's records in the playoffs, stuff like that, with a lot more left in the tank. Doesn't have the wife, doesn't have the kids. I think Travis Kelce plays a couple more years. As great as it would be in like 4 or 5 years, first ballot Hall of Famers, to see them go into the Hall of Fame together, because they're both Hall of Fame guys. They're both top three at their position all time. As incredible as that would be, I don't see a guy like Travis Kelce walking away from the game like that. Maybe he does have that much love for his brother as we think, to where they could do it together. But I think even Jason Kelce would tell him, like, you can't walk away right now. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, honestly, the thought didn't even cross my mind. And I just heard some rumblings around Mobile last week about
there's it. There's a lot of like, rumblings about it.
I was like, wait, is that a thing? Is that expected? And so now I'm curious. Just curious to see what happens. I could see either happening just based on what's been out there.
I think the story of them walking away together would be all time. But I think it would, in a drunken back porch meeting between the two of them, it's two brothers that grew up together that their only dream was to get to this point. Like, they've both won Super Bowls. They're both all pros. They're both first ballot Hall of Famers, and they're just drinking beer together. And then the older brother being like, you can't walk away from this game. I'm walking away from this game because I have a family, because I have this. It's hard for me to get out of bed. You're breaking Jerry Rice's records every time you catch a ball. Like, you can't walk away from this right now. And I think that's what it's going to end up being. And I think Travis Kelce sticks around for about 2 to 3 more years.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not big on speculating what I think will happen or not. You know,
but there is a Travis Kelce really retirement prop on the board.
Is there?
+1600
for him to retire.
To announce retirement after the Super Bowl.
What's after the Super Bowl?
I think it's
a guaranteed winner to me. He will announce his retirement after this Super Bowl, whether it be 3 years down the road or like 3 days down the road.
I think it's after Super Bowl, actually. I think is okay. The prop.
Okay.
But I don't think he'll do it either way at the Super Bowl, but it's definitely a prop.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I wouldn't bet that. Let me just put it that way. I mean, I don't think he's going to outshine his teammates on it, you know?
No way. Not especially with, like, with how close him and Pat are. Like, if it was a Brock Purdy as his quarterback, maybe he does it. But he ain't doing that to Pat. Ain't no way.
Yeah. Now, since we're on Kelce, I mean, I might as well throw out my Kelce props here.
I have a Kelce prop as well.
So I got over 70.5 yards.
Same.
That's just money. Yep. And then Kelce MVP. If he is retiring, he's going to catch 2 touchdowns plus, well over 100 yards. He might just win MVP.
See, I couldn't get on the MVP train. Is MVP still fan voted?
So that's... I was about to ask you the same question because the Swifties, it'll happen.
Yeah. If they take fan voted into account,
that was like +900 or something. Like,
yeah.
If it's fan voted still with the Swifties, it's going to happen if the Chiefs win.
Yeah. I 100% agree. And that's why I stayed away from the fan vote, because I'm like, as far as just players, I think Isaiah Pacheco is the best value for MVP in this game. not necessarily the thing. I don't think Isaiah Pacheco will win. I think it'll be Pat Mahomes, but I think Pat Mahomes is like plus 115, and that's just not good enough value to bet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if fan vote comes at any consideration whatsoever, it's got to be Travis Kelce. I have Travis Kelce over 70.5 yards as well. I mean, I just think in the biggest game of the year, he's going to get 70.5. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's in the first half.
I mean, honestly, the reason it's lower is probably just Fred Warner, which I think is valid. But, I mean,
But we're also talking about an all-time great.
Yeah, he's just been...
Fred Warner is also an all-time great, but, I mean,
he did it against Travis Kelce. Defense that was really good at stopping tight ends last week, too. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love over 70.5. My next one I have here is I have Juwan Jennings over one catch for plus 130. I think even if Debo plays the whole game, he's going to have to take some time off. And Juwan Jennings has been that safety blanket for Brock Purdy every time that Debo's had to come out of the game. And you're telling me I only have to get two catches out of him? He could get one catch with Debo on the field and then only has to get one more after that for plus 130. I just think it's great value as being the number three wide receiver on that team. And you're giving me plus 130 for over a catch. I love it.
It's over one catch?
Over 1.5.
Okay. I mean, I like it. It just comes back to the receivers have struggled against this KC defense. But, I mean, you're talking two catches. I think there's value there, absolutely.
Yeah.
Back on the Kelce thing, interesting. I just looked this up. When these two teams faced in the Super Bowl in 2019, he had six catches for 43 yards. So Fred Warner played a
game. That was Tyreek Hill was there, though.
That's true. Tyreek Hill was. But Fred Warner still played a game.
But Travis Kelce is also very maniacal and revengeful and remembers these types of things to where he won't talk about it. But he probably has studied the game so much where he remembers everything that Fred Warner did. And maybe Fred Warner did the same, but it's like, maybe instead of like cutting right at the 5 yard line, I cut right at the 3.5.
Yeah.
And just the littlest minute of details, I think he gets there.
Oh, I'm not, every bet has pros and cons, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm just trying to give the full picture here.
Yeah. No, I mean, I trust
get it. So
yeah, I trust Kelce to get open. I love Fred Warner. I think Fred Warner's awesome, but yeah, I trust Kelce to be able to get open here. And if he doesn't, it's going to be Noah Gray. And you talk about it all the time. Like, Noah Gray is always the cash cow in these types of games.
Yeah,
because Andy Reid, like, and Travis Kelce is also like a type of guy that's like willing to play the decoy for somebody else, as long as it's beneficial. So Noah Gray might be your cash cow here if you think Warner is going to shut down Kelce. Hey,
you want to talk sicko cash cow? It's the Justin Watson anytime touchdown. Always has been. Always will be. Every big game for Kansas City.
That was Kadarius Tony last year. Watson
has 2 to 3 plays dialed up for a touchdown, and I swear to God, they're always within an inch of hitting. Whether it's like just a pass interference happened, or get stopped at the one, or like something, it never hits. But one of these days, it's gonna hit.
Yes, sir.
It is the most sick. Like, it's probably like plus 1600 or something, but it happens a few times a year, and like in these big games, the play is always dialed up.
Absolutely. So next up, I have a defensive prop. I have Chris Jones over 1.5 sacks. Chris Jones has just been on a tear this entire season. He's probably about to go sign another contract somewhere else for another team. He's basically hit every incentive and is very highly incentive-ridden deal that he has for this season. I think he gets two sacks this game. I would even be willing to sprinkle like Chris Jones like MVP for this game. I think he's going to absolutely blow up against that Niners interior defensive line or interior offensive line. I love Chris Jones in this game. And over 1.5 sacks at plus 750. Love that number.
Yeah, plus 750. You're getting the return. The juice is there. I will say Brock Purdy has taken three sacks in the last two games. He hasn't faced Chris Jones either.
Hasn't faced Chris Jones.
It's a whole different beast. I mean, I'm personally not a big believer in San Fran's O-line. Like, their interior is pretty weak, honestly. It's really just the Trent Williams show on their O-line, and the other guys, it's like, take them or leave them kind of
thing. Are you like George Karlaftis? Anytime sack? George Karlaftis anytime sack, I think it was like plus 350.
I might like it. I might. I need to dig into it deeper, to be honest.
George Karlaftis has been incredible in this postseason.
Yeah, he's been playing really good football. But I almost like the interior guys. I know that they're just going to attack Aaron Banks and Brendel with Chris Jones. Like, yeah. They are going at those two with Chris Jones. And they're going to bring him out on the edge against McKivitz. Like, they're going to use him all over the line where they think the matchup dictates them best. And Chris Jones is their chess piece. Like, that's... Yeah. I do like that bet for over 1.5. I don't know if it hits, but at plus 750, you got enough juice that I feel fine about it. Yeah. Now, man, where I get concerned with it is Shanahan protects this O-line like crazy, and he doesn't trust Purdy a lot. So they have to be down for most of the second half, I think, for this to hit.
I think he gets an early sack and a late sack. I think that's where where my logic comes in. I think he gets a sack early in the game, and then I think Kansas City can get a double-digit lead late third, early fourth if he can get a second one. That's where my logic comes in.
I can see it. I can see that. Talk me into it. Let's see. I don't have any defensive ones. But
I only have one more, then I have a kind of a Hail Mary one.
Okay, well, I got six left. So I'll reel off my three Mahomes bets.
And then I have a Mahomes bet as well.
Okay. So my first one is under a half interception, so no interceptions for Mahomes.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty much even money, maybe like minus 120 or something. But I mean, the guy hasn't been making any turnover worthy plays for like the last two playoff seasons of playoffs. So I feel like that's a pretty safe one. Mahomes MVP, just to make sure I get my Kelce money back if he doesn't win it.
Yeah.
This is like plus 120 or something. So no real value there. That's just a
hedge.
I feel like it's an automatic play. And then Mahomes over rushing yards, over 25.5.
That's the one I have.
Yeah.
Mahomes over 25.5 or 20.5, whatever he said. It's Mahomes doesn't run until it matters, and he gets those yards. So I love over rushing for Mahomes, and I feel like that number's pretty inflated. I actually didn't take it. My Mahomes that I have is under 38.5 pass attempts, just because I don't feel like they're going to have to throw the ball that much. I think Pacheco's going to have a good game. So I have under 38.5 at minus 110. I love that number. But yeah, I mean, Mahomes rushing in the playoffs has been money because he doesn't run in the regular season. And future us next year, first, second, third round of the playoffs before the Super Bowl, always take Mahomes over on rushing, because I think in the first game where they played, who'd they play week one, or not week one, first round of the playoffs,
who was it?
Browns played Texans. Steelers, was it?
I thought it was Steelers.
They play the Steelers?
It was Miami.
Miami. I think he had like 37 yards rushing, and his total was like 2.5.
Yeah.
Like, always take Mahomes. Mahomes playoffs
runs a lot more. I mean, he's gone. So, in 3 Super Bowl appearances, he had 29, 33, and 44.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He doesn't run regular season, but when the game's on the line, he'll tuck it and run it. Fat Pat gets it done. And that's a big number. I wasn't expecting the number to be that big. I didn't even see that number, but I still like that number.
Yeah. I mean, 25.5. I want to say it opened at around 30. So it's come down.
Yeah, I mean, because he does run that much. But week one next year, whoever they play, let's say they play the Lions week one next year again, or somebody like that, I guarantee you his number is going to be like less than 5.
Yeah.
Then I'll probably take the under. Like,
speaking of which, I got Brock Purdy over 12.5 rush yards.
Yeah, I like that too. He runs more than you think too.
This kid's scrappy.
He's scrappy.
You gotta leave it all out on the field. Put it all on the line. Brock Purdy's gonna have himself a nice little 10 to 15 yard scamper, and then another like a little 2 to 5 yard one, and he can get over 12.5.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, it's the Super Bowl, man.
It is, yeah.
He's gonna have chances to
can't hold anything back here.
That's what I was looking for. Can't hold anything back now.
My last bet, I have yes to overtime at plus 1400.
So, sorry, just quick note. Last two playoff games this year for Purdy, 14 rush yards and 48. So he's gone over 12.5, both of them. No overtime, you said? Or yes, overtime?
Yes, overtime at plus 1400.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think that is? Like 12 to 12 going into overtime?
27-27.
Okay. Interesting question. Does overtime count towards second half scoring?
No. Not for the Bucks.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. I think it used to.
Okay.
Until the Patriots, I think they changed it Patriots-Falcons, actually.
Oh, I think you're right. I think I hit that.
Because it used to be. It used to be.
Yeah. All right, and then I got 2 Christian McCaffrey plays. Taking over 90.5 rushing yards. Basically, I just think there's value here. I think this number is going to go up the closer we get to the game with people taking the over. As I've said, I don't think Shanahan trusts Purdy a lot. I think he's going to lean heavily on McCaffrey in this game. And why wouldn't you? You're in the Super Bowl. Get the ball in your best football player's hands and try to make stuff happen. And especially with Kansas City's defense probably being more susceptible to the run than the pass, I think that you're going to see Christian McCaffrey get a lot of opportunities early in this game. And to that same point, lack of trust in Purdy, but maybe they need to throw because they might be down. I like his over on receiving yards, 33.5. That makes all the sense in the world to me. I love
Cincy props in this game.
I'm avoiding the receivers because I really think Kansas City's cornerbacks are just making life hell on receivers right now. McCaffrey's going to see the targets.
No, I agree with the McCaffrey things. McCaffrey might be the best player in this game, like bar none.
Well, outside of Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, I think McCaffrey might be a better running back than Patrick Mahomes as quarterback, but it's very, very close.
It is very close. That's a good question, but that is very close. Like, you take positional value out of it at that point because you're saying it's better at their job.
Yeah.
There's an argument.
It's Trent Williams, it's Christian McCaffrey, it's Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what order it's in. 3 years ago, it would have been Trent Williams, bar none. 2 years ago, it would have been probably Christian McCaffrey, bar none. But today, it's extremely close.
Yeah, it is. Chris Jones has always had an argument in there, too, but Aaron Donald stood in his way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for the Aaron Donald, I would put Chris Jones in there.
Travis Kelce?
No, because I don't even know if Travis Kelce is the best tight end in this game.
No?
I mean, we've never seen Kittle with an elite. Kittle's obviously a better blocker. That's unquestioned. Imagine Kelce with a Jared Goff. Like, look what Sam Laporta did this year. Sam Laporta was tied in one in fantasy.
I don't get your point here. Like, we've seen Kelce with Alex Smith.
And he was good.
He was pretty awesome.
Yeah. But I mean, we never saw George Kittle with Alex Smith.
We saw him with Jimmy G.
I'll take Alex Smith over Jimmy G.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Alex Smith gets so disrespected in later years. Alex Smith was so freaking good in Mahomes' rookie year that people just don't realize how good he was, because everybody just thinks about early years of Alex Smith with Vernon Davis and who is that coach? The Big Eyes coach, linebacker.
Singletary.
Yeah, just terrible, terrible run organization. People think about that Alex Smith. Alex Smith was pretty serviceable and a pretty good quarterback after all that for a good 8 years.
I mean, so Jimmy G's best season was under, like, almost 3,980 yards, 27 touchdowns. Or, I'm sorry, Jimmy G's best year. 3,980 yards, 27 touchdowns, 13 picks. Alex Smith's best year in KC, 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 5 picks. So 7 fewer picks, but otherwise pretty much identical numbers. So I'll give that to you. But you had me more on the Kittle versus Kelce argument with the blocking than you did with Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, I'm just talking about, like, overall, like, just better tight end right this second. Like, are you saying if I'm on a game winning drive, I'm taking Kelce over Kittle all day, every day? Mm-hmm. If I'm in a one game playoff to where, like, this game matters more than anything, you could not throw the ball to Kittle one time and his blocking value is so high that I'll probably take him.
I think a lot of that boils down to what you're running on offense, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, they both have different strengths. If I'm on a game-winning drive, I'm taking Kelce. If I'm in a must-win game to where the game can go either direction, I might be run-heavy, I might be pass-heavy, it doesn't matter, I'll probably take Kittle. But if game on the line, a minute and 20 seconds left, I got to go to score a touchdown, taking Kelce 100 times out of 100.
All right. How about Joe Tooney?
He's not playing.
Oh, is he not? I thought he was going to be good to go.
I thought I saw Schefter say today that he's not playing.
I mean, you very well might have. I spent my day watching college linebackers, so.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I do not think he's playing. I do not think he's playing.
Damn. Says he's a long shot. There's still a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
You're telling me there's a chance. Boy, oh boy. What about Creed Humphrey?
Very good.
Best center?
I think if it wasn't for Creed Humphrey, Jason Kelce would be playing in Kansas City next year. That's how good Creed Humphrey is.
So is he in the argument for best center in the NFL, though, like we were talking?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's definitely top three. I think if Creed Humphrey was a middle-of-the-road center but pretty good, I think Andy Reid in his old age with his connections would 100% let Creed Humphrey go or trade him to sign a Jason Kelce to have the Kelce brothers with Mahomes make one more run. Because I think from what I've heard from the Kelce brothers and Andy Reid, I think Jason Kelce might be Andy Reid's favorite person to ever walk the earth.
He drafted him.
No, yeah, I'm very well aware of that. But I think after the fact and everything else that goes into it, I mean, I still think his favorite person might be Jason Kelce.
And that, I mean, I'm saying I can buy it.
That includes Patrick Mahomes, who's brought him 2 Super Bowls.
A head coach with an offensive line background who drafted his center in Philadelphia.
In the sixth round?
Yeah. Yeah.
A sixth round guy that came in that became goated. Yeah, absolutely.
How about Fred Warner?
Very, very good. Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
You were saying the best player at their position in the
Yeah. Fred Warner. I would say he's the best player at his position.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's the only linebacker in the NFL right now, if not
Roquan Smith. If
not only one of a few. No, Roquan doesn't fit this criteria. Who can play who can play as a stack linebacker or play as a more
I've put Fred Warner as the best at what he does.
Roquan Smith. Like, I think he can do either.
Yeah, I'd put Fred Warner at the best at what he does.
Yeah. What about Nick Bosa?
No.
Yeah, I think there's a few guys ahead of
him. Top 10. I mean,
underrated.
Max Crosby is the best at that right now, I think.
He might be. Or I'm probably putting Myles Garrett ahead of him, but.
Yeah, multiple people.
Guy who's probably not, but doesn't get near enough recognition because he's closer than anyone wants to realize, is Trent McDuffie.
Isaiah Pacheco. I like Trent McDuffie too. The dude Trent McDuffie is so freaking good. Man. Dude balls.
I think that covers it. I mean, Ayuk, I don't think he's in that tier. Like,
okay. Hold on. Brandon Ayuk. As far as if we're going to consider him a number two receiver, and assuming that he signs with a team this offseason that has an established number one, where do you rank him among number two wide receivers in the league? I think it's number one, bar none.
Yeah, I don't know if that I don't know if he's number two on this team.
Oh, no, I don't either. But assuming, like, okay, let's say he goes, let's say the Bengals lose T. Higgins, he goes and plays the two to Jamar Chase, or goes to Dallas, plays the two to CD, goes to Chicago, plays the two to DJ Moore, goes to...
I mean, he goes to Chicago,
he's probably the number one.
Razor thin whether he's one or two. Like, and I love DJ Moore, but like,
Brandon Ayuk, like,
two number one receivers.
His value this offseason is off the chart. I love Brandon Ayuk. I think he's incredible. I mean, in my opinion, if he can find himself in a situation to where he's not the clear one, that offense is going to be probably the most deadly offense in the league.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's the one or he's the one, if he can land in a spot to where, like, he's either clearly the two or not much worse than the one, they're going to have the best receiving core in the league because he is that good.
Yeah.
Because not. I think as a one, he's 10 to 15.
Yeah,
in the league,
he's in the DJ Moore range to me. Like, it's like he's one, but he's not the one. You know, like, in the conversation as that is the best receiver.
He's not a Diggs. He's not a Lamb. He's not a Chase. He's not a Jefferson.
Yeah,
he's not in that upper elite tier. But if he goes to a team to where he's the 2/1/1. Like a Chicago, where it's him and DJ Moore, it's like you don't really know who's the one. It's gonna be the best wide receiver. And I would put him above Debo, but just the way San Fran operates, Debo's kind of the one.
Debo's more valuable to San Fran, but Ayuk's more valuable to every other team in the NFL, I think.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
It's the absolute best way to put it. I love Ayuk. I can't wait to see where he goes. I think what's going to happen is that Cooper Kupp's going to retire, and it's going to be him and Puka Laduka next year in Los Angeles with Matt Stafford throwing the rock, and he's going to put up fucking insane numbers.
Wait. The Rams have a first-round pick this year.
I do.
First one since Jared Goff.
They do. And they're probably going to address O-line.
Or corner.
There's a lot they can address, but at the same time, they were good this year. So I don't know what the Rams are going to do.
I've been running through mocks and where they're drafting. I think the O-line is going to be somewhat dried up, but there's going to be a ton of corner talent on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rams are... I mean, if Stafford plays for 3 more years... They can definitely build something before he retires and make another Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
It just depends on Stafford's window.
Yeah, it does. I mean.
But I'm not counting
this
him out.
Year to year with him, man. I don't know what to think of it. Like,
I didn't think he was going to play this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was dealing with like a like a career-ending back injury going into the season.
Yeah.
And then they just... They just walked into the playoffs.
And he looks like a fucking dog the whole way. Like,
and then all of a sudden, Puka Laduka is fantastic. And
yeah.
Cooper Kupp, who is like the most reliable receiver in the league, looks washed up. So who knows?
McVay's a witch. Never count them out.
But that's going to be it for the Palooza Super Bowl week. Got to give a shout out to our Detroit Lions. Heartbroken about that loss, but hopefully they'll be back. We gotta find a team for next year. I already got a couple in my mind about teams we can't sleep on. We nailed the Lions. We were 2 years early on the Lions. Absolutely nailed the Texans. Next year, I have a team in mind. So we'll see.
Yeah,
but we've been good on calling it.
Draft classes and free agency and all that play out first, and coaching staffs and dive into them. Which, don't forget, we will be here all off season previewing every team in the NFL.
I'm so excited like for off season.
Yep,
so excited for off season. But that'll do it. We'll see y'all later. Don't sleep on Patty Mahomes and the boys. All Patty Mahomes does is win Super Bowls, so you can't sleep on it.
Don't do it.